Iraqi writer and professor of Islamic and Middle Eastern studies at Brandeis University, spoke to us from Cambridge, Massachusetts. He's on his way back to Baghdad.
A federal appeals court has sustained the Bush administration's claim of broad authority to keep secret the names of foreigners detained for national security reasons. The 2-1 decision upholds the Justice Department's refusal to disclose the identities of some 1,200 people detained after September 11th. The decision comes on the heels of a Justice Department internal report that strongly criticized both the lengthy detention of innocent people after September 11th and the conditions in which they were held. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins us now. Nina, remind us how this case started.
Well, after September 11th, a group of public interest groups asked the Justice Department to provide a complete list of the names of detainees, where and when they were detained and released, if they were released, and the identity of their lawyers. They asked for the information under the Freedom of Information Act. The Justice Department refused. And in court, it defended its actions with two affidavits from Justice Department officials claiming that if any part of the information were disclosed, it could provide hints to terrorist networks as to the progress of the Justice Department investigation. That's what's called the mosaic theory, Melissa, that all the information is part of a mosaic. A federal district court judge rejected that theory, saying that the Freedom of Information Act did not authorize that kind of blanket exception to its requirement that public records be disclosed. Today, a federal appeals court panel here in Washington reversed that decision. Judge David Sentell, writing for the two-judge majority, said that the courts should not second-guess the executive branch in matters of national security. America faces an enemy just as real as its former Cold War foes, he said, with capabilities beyond the capacity of the judiciary to explore.
This was a 2-1 decision. Tell us more about the two judges who were in the majority.
The author of the opinion, Judge Sentell, is a well-known conservative from North Carolina, appointed to this court by President Reagan. Joining him was Judge Karen Henderson from South Carolina, appointed by the first President Bush. Dissenting was Judge David Tatel, a Washington lawyer appointed to the court by President Clinton.
And Judge Tatel, it sounds like, had a fairly strong dissent. What did he have to say?
It was pretty tough, even harsh, one might say. He acknowledged that much of the information that had been sought from the Justice Department might, in the end, be legitimately kept secret. But he accused the majority of abdicating its role under the Freedom of Information Act to assess which information could be released. FOIA, that's what it's called, for the Freedom of Information Act. FOIA, he said, does not allow for what he called vacuous judicial review of executive branch decisions. Here, said Tatel, the government had provided no specifics to justify its decisions. Worse, he said, the court's, quote, uncritical deference to the government's vague, poorly explained arguments for withholding broad categories of information eviscerates both FOIA and the principles of openness in government that it embodies.
What's an example of some issue that the judges disagreed on?
Well, let's take the innocent detainees, the ones that have been released because the government acknowledges it has no case against them. The majority notes that few of these people have volunteered to identify themselves to the public, and that if they were identified, it might discourage people with valuable information from coming forward. Judge Tatel, in dissent, says that the identities of witnesses are protected under a separate provision of FOIA, and that as for those who've been arrested and eventually released, there is no right to privacy as to that information. Tatel noted that the government claims that the detainees had access to counsel and freedom to contact whomever they wished, but without knowing the detainees' identities and without knowing who their lawyers are, there's no way to verify those claims.
And Nina, is this now headed to the Supreme Court, do you think?
This case was always headed to the Supreme Court, no matter who won in the lower courts.
Okay, thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Melissa.
NPR's Nina Totenberg.